This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
Oh, by the way, Rich Hoffman is going to hang out for After the Paracast, which is available exclusively to subscribers of the Paracast Plus. Go to the Paracast.plus for more. Rich Hoffman joining us. We're trying to talk about seriously trying to do research into UFOs, the problems of trying to get legit information other than fun videos. Really cool videos like Doctor Who, Jodie Whittaker singing the Coldplay song Yellow, stuff like that, and getting legit information about UFOs, and there's too much junk. But the same is true on Facebook. I mean, you've got billions of users. How do you find real information unless you sharply focus on a small number of user groups?
Right. If you think about trying to tackle the problem of, okay, that there are sightings every day in the country, and you want to do scientific study of all those wonderful sightings that are happening in the course of a day, and you need to be able to look at it to the point where you can get the best data or best information possible for a credible case, how do you go about doing that? Okay. And that is a constant struggle. Many people will not report it. Many people are in areas where they have no internet. Many people don't have a computer. Many people, whatever. You know, okay. So you're only going to get a small percentage of those cases. And then how many of those cases do you think that are actually, if you investigated them, were other natural explanations or IFOs? And we know that the biggest number of those are misidentified or something else that the people see. And then you talk about getting a legitimate case. It might be down in the, it might be a very small number, you know? So now I'm trying to find that little small number of those. And I'm trying to now say, well, I need to have that information. How do I get people to send the information to somebody? And then what are they going to do with it? They're going to have to go out and like look around and investigate it. Was it this or was it that? Or, and try to narrow it down. Well, did anybody, that witness, contact the police department? The police department might have saw something. I told you that they might have been driving around. Was there a radar that was there? Okay, well, let me see if I can get that, you know? And so you have to look at these things very broadly to be able to figure out who else might have seen it besides just that one witness, all right? And if you can do something with it, then great. Let's get that, all that data collected, and we'll put it together and we'll do something scientifically with it, right? If we can, right? They might be able to have deduced speed. They might have been, might have had a video clip of something. Somebody else from a different side might have had a camera shot of it. And you could, you know, do some now triangulation and get the exact altitude because you got multiple sites seeing it. My point is that it's a very difficult challenge and problem for us to do that and to do anything and get anything meaningful from it.
Well, it's not like the phenomena cooperates with us on this either. It seems like over the years, back in the golden era, people would see them visually and report them as they saw them. And then as our technology got more and more sophisticated, they began to elude it. And now, as you mentioned earlier, Rich, they seem to be able to vanish completely off radar and visibly. If so, it seems to me that really the phenomena is what's in control of the whole disclosure mechanism, not us.
Well, I completely agree with you. I mean, I think that they've always been in control. I mean, the sightings happen, you know, like it's like a one-time happenstance that somebody sees something, then it's gone. It's gone from even space and time as we know it. You know, I mean, it's not there anymore. If an airplane takes off and it lands somewhere, we know it, and people might see it along the entire route. Well, the object might have been there at this given location, and it's now gone, and nobody knows where it went to. We didn't see it land anywhere. We didn't see it take off, and nobody's seeing it along the way. And so what happened? Hynek referred to it as a space-time singularity. And I kind of agree with them. I think it's like, you know, they see it. It happens once. There it is. Many times, and bingo, it's gone. Now, it just so happens that some areas of the country have a large number of sightings in that geographic area. Well, guess what you could do from a scientific nature instead of just taking those individual reports is you could take out and deploy some sort of scientific equipment that is now using like an all-sky camera and it's recording the entire sky. You might be able to, and I'm working with people right now that are putting these kind of devices together that are deployable packages with multiple kinds of cameras and even things like, you know, that could potentially pick up, you know, like, for example, I was making a spectral camera. They could, you know, you might be able to have an infrared camera and you could do all these other kinds of things and have the equipment help you out and give you some actual data you can do something with. I think that what we as a country need to consider are something maybe along of deployable units or deployable whatever is fully equipped with that kind of like stuff that we can, the scientists want to know about and might give us some sort of an indication about the objects and how they're maneuvering around.
Are you referring here, by the way, Rich, to the UFO data project, the one from the Center for UFO Studies?
I'm part of UFO data. I'm also talking about there's other projects that are going on. I'm a part of or at least working cooperatively with SkyHub. SkyHub is a team of people that are putting together equipment and are doing a fabulous job with that. In fact, the two of the people on SkyHub, Bob McGuire and Steve McDaniel, are a part of SCU. Then you have even I'm also a consultant with the UAP expedition, the one that's going to go take the boat cruise off the Catalina Island area.
Right. Yeah, with Gary Voorhees.
Yeah. I'm on working with Gary Voorhees and the team and Kevin Day and all them other people to be able to see if we can't do that. So
that's pretty cool. While we're talking this, we have to talk about Christopher O'Brien, our former co-host, who's still is doing the SLV camera project, and he's advanced his work. They've got where people can go and buy from them their own little deployable camera sky monitoring system that will hook into the computers with their central networks somehow. Right. You'd have to talk to him about it, but
I know about
it's pretty cool, yeah.
Well, I know about him, and I'm also knowing about MADAR. MADAR is another project by Francis Ridge that I guess the group called NICAP that's still in existence, if you would. They're have deployable units around trying to do something with it. So again, you know, I mean, we need to deploy these kind of technologies and have these technology tools. People need to understand that if they see something that they don't use their regular phone camera, that they could use this theodolite that I mentioned, or they could use other kinds of tools and help us to get more information, which then supports their actual case, right? It's an educational thing. It's the fact that technology is getting more available to a lot of people, and it's more affordable. And we just need to educate a lot of the people that are wanting to treat this seriously to go in to do those types of things.
Now, all this is civilian. This is taking us outside of the government area. But that raises the other question, which is, can we even rely on any government? And I'm not going to assume those run by authoritarians where nobody's going to get the information except a selected few. But can we rely on any government to help in this quest? I mean, governments like the U.S. government is giving up on space exploration. It's going to be done by SpaceX and the other companies.
Yeah, so there's other countries that are not, of course, like utilizing SpaceX or something like that. I mean, they don't have their own kind of programs, but that other countries have a stronger belief in the UFO subject and validity, okay, that there's something there. And they might be a bit more open with their public about that. And hopefully, if we can get enough of those other governments to cooperate and we get people from within those governments to cooperate, we can start to potentially look at getting more information and better information. I think, again, it's going to be a situation it's got to be something where it's outside of the military or outside of them, because they have their national security kind of like looks at things, and they'll kind of shut things down. from the general public.
Let's do our break here. We've got more with Rich, Gene, and Randall. You're in
the Paracast.
Hello, Paracast people. I'm Greg Carlwood, the host of the Higher Side Chats podcast, an uninterrupted and action-packed interview-based show where I talk to some of the brightest minds for our troubled times about all things paranormal, occult, esoteric, and conspiratorial. After 10 years, we've heard it all. Alien moon bases, archons, hollow earth, technocratic and biomedical agendas, magic, mind control, and Lovecraftian monsters. Oh my. Usually, the first hour of the show is free, and the second hour is for members who sign up for the Higher Side Chats Plus at $8 a month. But praise be, we're giving Paracast listeners 2 free weeks of Plus when you use the all caps coupon code PARACAST. Go to thehiresidechats.com, sign up with the code PARACAST, and dive into the nearly never-ending archive of great interviews I've been lucky enough to get over the years, from David Politis to David Icke, and many, many guests not named David. Check it out. You're going to love it. All right, Gene, was that good? Can we use that one?
When you have a pain in the neck, a real pain in the neck, back, shoulder, or legs, you now have two convenient choices to get fast relief without taking another pill. Because now, Sunny Bay heating wraps and pillows are available at both Amazon and Walmart. Yes, see Sunny Bay's 4.5 to 5-star customer reviews on Amazon.com or Walmart.com. Our made in the USA microwavable heat wraps, heatable neck pillows, and extra large body wraps are designed better for perfect support where and when you need it. Even while driving, Sunny Bay wraps will not burn and stay balanced to provide soothing hot or cold therapy to help treat temporary or chronic pain. And the best part? Sunny Bay quality products start at under $20. Join thousands of happy customers and see why Sunny Bay products have a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy. It's easy. Click Amazon or Walmart and search today for Sunny Bay.
Both my legs were amputated due to an IED. It's when you start to try to get back into, like, an everyday life. I absolutely felt like I lost some of my purpose. There must be something more. When DAV came into my life, they gave me a new mission. I could still be a productive member of society, could still support a family.
The DAV gave him that sense of structure and purpose again to get his life back together.
Visit DAV.org to learn more about our mission.
Warning, if you're drowning in debt you can't afford, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to pay it all back, because you don't. What the credit card companies don't want you to know is that there's actually a way to get debt-free without paying off your entire debt or going bankrupt. If you have $10,000 or more in credit card debt, you now have the right to let us settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe. For free information, call Credit Associates now. 1-800-900-8407. We'll even show you how much money you could save. If you can't afford to pay off all your debt, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to. Call Credit Associates now for free information on how to get debt-free faster than you ever thought possible without debt consolidation or bankruptcy. We depend on your success and offer a guarantee, so there's no risk. For free information, call now. 1-800-900-8407. That's 1-800-900-8407. 1-800-900-8407.
With more people listening to radio than visit Google, Facebook, or YouTube, from the very young to the very old, everyone listens to radio. Pillow companies, alarm, identity theft, nutrition, insurance, banking, automotive, the list goes on and on. Billion-dollar businesses. Why? The answer is radio, the media everyone tunes into. Find out how effective and affordable radio can be for your business. Contact 877-996-4327 or advertise at gcnlive.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
Of course, Rich Hoffman, any government would want to do something to its own advantage, just as if we would. Yes. But at the same time, I wonder here if any government has actionable intelligence about UFOs that point to something other than we don't know what it is and it doesn't seem to represent a threat. Something more, why Putin and these other people haven't come out and said, we know the answer.
No, you're absolutely right. And I think that that could potentially be the case, that there are elements within the intelligence community. And I'm not saying that you can't broadly say that every part of it, but there might be, again, going back to what we talked about before, was that there's a small group of people who have the task of monitoring this kind of stuff and doing something with it that is in the intelligence community. And it's, you know, it's basically not being shared as openly. And so they are probably have all the information and are keeping it that way. What we're attempting to do with all these things, like keep talking about iPhones and stuff like that, is I'm outside of that world, if you would, even though I work for the DOD and I do have security agreements and stuff like that I have to adhere to. But at the same time, what I'm trying to tell you is that there's a balance between that there needs to be public information, because it does impact the public. It's impacting their lives. People are seeing them. People are having, if there's any validity to the, of course, the abduction phenomena, there's a serious concern there. If there's anything where people are being harmed, you talked about the Canadian up there. You talk about Chris Rutkowski will tell you all the time about that one case that he investigated. I can't remember the name of the case now. The Falcon Mitchell.
Mitchell. Yeah, classic case.
Yeah, classic case, right? So, I mean, there are people that are being impacted by that, and I think that we need to be a little bit more open about that. If we are out actually trying to re-engineer, let's say we're out, I mean, we've got crashes, and we're out trying to re-engineer it to be able to develop a weapon or a tool, I mean, like that, I don't think you're going to see a whole lot of openness about that. And I don't think that any country would probably be open about that. And I'm saying it if it's in the military world. The military is not going to share whether they've got some advantage over the Chinese with their hypersonic vehicles or something of that nature. Sure, they're going to deny it. Sure, it's going to be highly classified. Sure, it's going to be a close hold. Why wouldn't they? That's, again, where I think that most of the phenomena really is on that borderline of, you know, is a threat. We need to analyze the threat, and we need to be really mindful of the fact that it's not just over those military sites. It's also over the general public areas. You know, how many people in Phoenix saw the Phoenix lights, you know? I mean, there's ultimately that kind of thing that's going on that the public needs to be aware that, hey, don't, you know, we are looking at it, and don't be that concerned about it. You don't need to panic about it, but we are looking into it. And I think that they're right now, they're also playing that delicate dance between wanting to call them alien craft versus saying that, hey, look, there's probably potentially somebody here on the planet that's making them. And they haven't figured out how they can get over that hump, because once you say that you think that they're alien spacecraft, if you would, or some from somewhere else, you just get into that big, I don't know how to say it.
Pandora's box.
the Pandora's box that now connects you into, well, how are religions going to take that? How are other parts of the country going to take that? You know, why are they here? What am I going to do about that? How am I protecting myself from that? There's a huge change that would have to happen if you made that kind of like declaration. And I don't know that, you know, the government is, how do I say it, that organized to be able to deal with that?
Okay, so on the flip side of that, though, I mean, depending on what poll you go with, most people already believe in alien visitation.
Oh,
and
sure they
we're so desensitized to it now because it's everywhere that I really don't think that there would be this great mass panic. You know, it wouldn't be any H.G. Wells War of the World thing anymore. There wouldn't be massive people getting into cars trying to leave the cities. People would just go, oh, it's about time, you know.
No,
and then a few people who are interested would want to know more.
Yeah, I don't see that the War of the Worlds is panic is going to happen anymore. I mean, like you say, we've been desensitized and to a lot of different things. I think that the thing is that, you know, that ultimately you're going to be in a situation where you make the announcement that, hey, well, we got alien life, that there's going to be all kinds of implications to that, and that's going to, in fact, okay, well, What are you doing to protect or find out? Okay, so now we have to go out and make sure that the Air Force is doing their job or whatever, and you're going to have to really go after it. Are they friendly? Do we shoot at them? Do we not shoot at them? Do we just monitor them? What do we do? How do we deal with that? Is that going to change the way we finance things? Are we going to, and so I guess what I'm trying to say, and I think that, you know, Richard Dolan in his book After Disclosure got into a lot of these different areas, but I mean, ultimately it's about there are these changes that are going to have to take place or will take place as a result of something like this announcement happening. And yes, there are religious groups that have problems with that and think that these things are demonic. And so, you know, there would be an impact to those people. And they might now say, well, demons are in this guy and all kinds of other kinds of things. So you have to be able to deal with that as well. I don't know. It's got to be well managed. And I'm not sure, again, that we are set up to do that well. We're not even managing.
I don't think we can be. This is the problem.
We're not even managing COVID very well. So.
Even if we wanted to, I don't think it's a matter of whether or not we're capable of just telling the truth about what's going on. I don't think that they can tell us because of the ramifications on the national security side of things. So in other words, even if they know alien visitation is a reality, then if they tell us that, then there are going to be people who ask questions. They're going to say, how do you know? And then they're going to go, well, we have detected them. And then people are going to say, well, how did you detect them? And we know that some of these detection systems are highly classified and you just can't talk about them.
And what are you doing about it? Do I want to know your military missions and how you're changing to adapt to be able to figure out what they are? And again, going back to, what do you do with them? Is the public going to demand we capture them? Is that the thing we should be doing? Should we be just monitoring them? They don't seem to be harming too many people or whatever like that. At least that's what it looks like on the onset. Or, you know, what do we
do? What do you think we should do?
Well, if it was
up to you, if they came to you tomorrow, Rich, and said, okay, look, we're ready to go with disclosure. What are you going to do? How can you help us to break this to the public? How would you handle that?
Leave that answer to our next segment. With more to come with Rich, Gene, and Randall, you're in
the Paracast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
With a Mech-Tech carbine conversion unit, you can turn an XD Family Glock or 1911 handgun into a carbine rifle in seconds and have it shipped right to your door, no FFL required. Now, Mech-Tech is excited to announce our pistol carbine conversion unit. More compact with a 12-inch barrel and an arm brace, proving once again that Mech-Tech is the world's most versatile handgun accessory. For a limited time, go to handgunconversions.com. That's handgunconversions.com and use coupon code RADIO to receive $35 off any carbine purchase.
You've seen crazy diets to lose weight? At GCN Team, our healthy body weight loss system simply neutrophies the body, bringing down cravings. It has been proven that nutritional deficiencies drive appetite for carbs, sugars, and fats. Lose weight the easy way. Find us at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Fighting cravings is a fool's game. Give the body what it needs to be satisfied. Again, 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
Here in Oregon, it's hard to breathe because of the thick smoke. USA Radio's John Hunt has more.
As fires continue throughout the West Coast, hundreds of firefighters are now battling two large wildfires that threaten to merge near the most populated part of the state of Oregon, including the suburbs of Portland. And the governor said dozens of people are missing in other parts of the state. The state's emergency management director, Andrew Phelps, said officials are preparing for a mass fatality event, and that
thousands of structures have already been destroyed. Governor Kate Brown said more than 40,000 Oregonians have already been evacuated, and about 500,000 are in different levels of evacuation zones, either having been told to leave or to prepare to get that done. The Oregon Convention Center in Portland is among the buildings being transformed into shelters for evacuees. For USA Radio News, I'm John Hunt.
This is USA Radio News. Colorado's Secretary of State filed a federal lawsuit against the U.S. Postal Service over mailers that contain inaccurate information about mail-in voting. Jenna Griswold said her office learned Thursday that the Postal Service would send mailers to every household in the U.S. with information about mail-in voting. The mailers advise voters to request a vote-by-mail ballot at least 15 days before Election Day, and to return the official ballot at least 7 days before the election. But the instructions don't account for the variation in state rules. Colorado, Hawaii, and Oregon, for example, don't require individuals to request mail-in ballots because every registered voter already gets one. According to Griswold, secretaries of state in five other states have contacted her to request copies so they could explore the possibility of filing their own suit. In Washington State, which also runs elections exclusively by mail, the Secretary of State criticized the mailer on Twitter. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Now, with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nano-colloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
This is Jacques Vallée, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
So, Rich Hoffman, we have elevated you to a high status here.
Yeah, you sure
did. You are providing the information to the public. It's up to you, my friend. Make it so. Engage.
You know, to me, it's, again, going to be one of those things where, you know, maybe it's not coming from one government, but from like a multiple governments. In other words, the UN should be something maybe, or, you know, somebody even suggested that the Pope be the one that makes the announcement, yeah. You know, and, you know, you somehow get it delivered in such a way that it separates you from the government, if you would, which a lot of people don't even, you know, trust anyway. And it allows for somebody that's credible and reputable to be able to make the announcement that's going to have an impact. And so if you think about the religious community, they should probably be a part of it. You think that maybe something like a UN kind of position, because it represents multiple parties, should be somehow engaged in it. And that we just, as an announcement, make to the world, through those kind of like world-like kind of like things that, hey, ultimately they're here, or there is something here, and that we as a world need to address that. And then it takes it a little bit in a different direction than you'd get if it was just the United States. You get what I'm saying?
Here's what I think might be really advantageous for any group if something like this were to happen. If you think about it kind of logically, if you were the one who is in control of saying to the people that have the information that, you know, we all out here want disclosed, you would be looking at the candidates that you would be approaching to see how well prepared they are. So in other words, creating something like an action plan for disclosure. If you had one and it was well laid out and it was better than anyone else's, that would increase your chance of them approaching you, I would think.
Yeah, very much so. I think that's very likely. I think that what we're trying to do is to be able to, number one, establish some sort of credibility that the subject is legit and that there needs to be serious treatment of it. And so you want to have that seriousness and that credible or group or organization or whatever like that, helping to deliver that plan to whomever that's going to now take it up and do something with it from a, maybe a government representative part. But again, getting it to the point where it's now like delivered from a world context, because it is something that's across this planet. And it's not UFOs, American UFOs, or not Canadian UFOs. It's a planet Earth UFOs, if you would, and a UAP. Make the announcement from the context of the worldview, and then deliver specific scientific groups, if you would, that are going to, you know, work together to be able to develop kind of tools to be able to help us to do it. You'd open up the military to be able to share more information from their equipment. We ought to have satellite data that we can collect and look at from above, and to really study it on a utilizing all the tools that everybody's got. And that's how we're going to learn and to do something with it.
Makes sense to me. How do you go about vetting your potential members, and what sort of credentials are required?
Well, we're typically looking for a degree, number one. But at the same time, they deliver a lot of people that want to join us. They submit a resume. We take a look at the resume and decide whether or not they're a good fit for us. We look for their position on the subject. People will deliver here's the way I look at it, or their view on it. And then we have a document that we have people sign that basically says that you agree to abide by our principles and what our goals are, our mission and our goals. We then get together as a board. We look at the individual and we decide whether or not they're going to be an addition to us or not, and make a decision to invite the person either on or to reject them.
Let me ask you a question here. What range of belief systems or theories do you consider in accepting an application?
We got a lot of people that have, they're all over the board with the subject. I mean, you got people that are very much into the abduction phenomena. You got people that are not into the abduction phenomena. You got people that are into, we're not looking for conspiracy theorists, if that's what you're trying to get at. We're looking for people who are going to treat the subject seriously and scientifically, which means writing papers and putting together scientific things that could go into a journal. And so we got people that are interested in the crop circle phenomena. We got people that are interested in a whole bunch of stuff.
Not just interest, but belief. I mean, if somebody comes in there, you're not going to take somebody who says, well, we're channeling ET from Zeta Reticuli and they wish us well in the pandemic or something.
No. We're not taking channelers or people like of that nature. We're taking, again, people who have got more like degrees in some sort of a science or something of that nature, and having them work with us to begin to put papers and get them peer reviewed and to go into a scientific journal and helping to get the scientific aspects of the cases worked out. So, we're not looking for people who channel, or we're not looking for psychics. We're not looking for ghost hunters. We're not looking for a whole host of things. But more legitimate people who will, that have good training and grounding in sciences, if you would.
How about what I would call the serious ufologists? Like, whether they have a degree or not might not be relevant. I've heard people speak who have degrees who don't know the first thing about UFOs and simply write them off.
Yeah, we have people that were former state directors in MUFON that are on board with us. They've done a lot of investigations and things like that into the phenomena. Where, again, there are people who are just well-grounded in doing a good research into the subject, that they're not gullible, they just don't buy everything that they see, and they They want to really treat it seriously. And that's our big factor, is that we're looking for people that have good, you know, good education in science, kind of like backgrounds, if you would, at the same time that have a good rational sense about them, that are not jumping out at, you know.
Right. Not everything. Oh my God. It's a, you know, UFO. Or I'm not saying it was aliens, but
yeah,
it was
exactly.
Aliens. You know.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
So then, getting sort of back to what Gene was alluding to here too, I had this question is, have you taken an opinion poll? And I'm not saying, you know, we're not looking for facts here. We're just saying, well, you know, what do people believe is the case? Have you taken an opinion poll with your members of how many think alien visitation is a reality?
A lot of them will state that in their document. We haven't conducted a survey of our people yet. Okay.
Okay.
So, but what we've done is we've seen those kind of comments, being touted in their statement, if you would. That I believe that there's a serious thing going on here. I believe that the landing cases are good indicators, and they might not have been properly and scientifically studied or something of that nature, and we ought to improve that. So, yeah, these things are legitimate. A lot of people believe that that's the case, but we just don't know. A lot of them just say, well, we just don't know enough and have enough information to make a good determination of origin. And that's pretty much where I'm at. You know, I can't speak to the origin because I've never seen like a license plate on the back of the vehicle.
Right. You know, they may have different kinds of license plates there, and they may not even renew them every year.
Exactly.
They might be permanent or every 3,000 years or anything like that.
Yeah.
We never think about that when we look at the old sci-fi TV shows. Where's their license plate? More to come with Gene Randall and Rich in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Hey, listeners. I want you to have the entire Paracast experience. So I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices are just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Introducing Reveal from GCNLife.com. Beverly Hills dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman invented Reveal, which contains polypeptides with natural botanicals and no parabens, sulfates, silicones, or dyes for a salon-quality hair growth product, Reveal. Here's Dr. Newman.
I have treated a lot of patients who lose their hair and they lose their confidence. We've created a unique set of polypeptides, which we call HPT6. The HPT6 contains contains the polypeptides from six different plants. The scalp infusion treatment should be used on wet or dry scalp. The Reveal Hair Care System is designed to be used for men and women alike.
Get Reveal at GCNLife.com with a 30-day money-back guarantee. So try Reveal today at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637. Plus a discount up to 25% off for Reveal at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Hello, this is John Burroughs, one of the witnesses to the Rendlesham UFO incident. You're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
I was thinking of that when I had to renew my driver's license for another 5 years here in Arizona. When you reach a certain age, I don't know how it works in Alabama, Rich Hoffman.
Yep.
But here, every 5 years, you take an eye test. Doesn't prove you can drive. It proves you can see when you crash into something. And they give you a new driver's license, you know. So they looked at me and they gave me the eye test. And it's really crazy during the coronavirus. Before, you had this machine that you'd look into. And they check your peripheral vision. That's cool. Now the woman or the man who is handling this, they go and grab an eye chart and go to a certain point in back of their room there, and they hold it up and say, read this line.
How many
forwards
fingers am I holding up? Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, how many fingers am I holding up? And I say 11. And they say, good, you get
good
your
enough.
License.
All right. Okay, more seriously, another question. Have you taken an opinion poll with your members, or did you get an idea of how many have had a UFO experience? And I mean a significant one, not just saw us, you know, well, I saw, something that looked like a satellite change direction, but something, you know, like a CE3 or something like that.
I think I said it earlier, but we haven't conducted a survey of our members. I think a good number of people that I continue to run across, and I do know that are in the group, have had a sighting of some sort. And that's made them interested in the phenomena in the first place. Some of them will actually say, well, I saw, you know, something when I was younger, and that's what led me into looking into it. That's why they're treating it a lot more seriously. We even ran across that even in MUFON. A lot of the people that we got as field investigators were people who had had a sighting, and they wanted to learn more. And so they went and said, well, I want to join MUFON, and I want to become a field investigator. So it's not uncommon for people to have had an experience and now have an interest in the subject to the point that they want to carry it on. I, unfortunately, have not had that. I got started as a result of this blasted science or book report that I had to do on the subject of UFOs.
Well, that's perfectly legitimate. I mean, if you do enough homework on it, you can also see that there is more to it than simple fiction and misidentifications, misperceptions. I mean, you've done your homework. I mean, there's seeing it, and then there's doing your homework. And I think anyone who does do their homework will come to the conclusion that there is something serious going on. There's a reality to this core phenomena
Yeah, well, I wish that that would have been my case. This was an eighth grade science class, and I spent little time on it, and I got a D on the book report. I got a D on the report overall because I said that there was really nothing to it, and the Air Force would tell us. So,
you deserved a D. Listen, my friend, you deserved a D.
Yeah, well, thank you. I mean, by the way, after I delivered my presentation, my 10-minute presentation on the subject, that's when the Lonnie Zamora case in Socorro happened in April 24th, 1964. And, oh, by the way, I saw that on the news on Walter Cronkite, and that's what led me going to get my first book on the UFO subject, which was the Report on Unidentified Flying Objects by former head Captain Edward Ruppelt. And then, growing up in Dayton, I learned that it was just up the road, that Project Blue Book was just up the road at Wright Pat. And so you can see what it did to me at age 13. I'm suddenly like going ape crazy with this whole thing. And
yeah, you're there.
And I am there. And
did you ever want to actually go to Wright-Patterson and have a look over?
I gave a UFO presentation to the people at Foreign Technology Division on it.
Oh, you know? Why don't you tell us this, and then we'll segue over to the After the Paracast show. Tell me more. You gave a presentation. When?
Oh, my God. This is like going way back. You know, I got started in 64, and I was already bumping into a few cases that I investigated. I had a blue book officer that was actually sitting next to me doing the same thing. And he was doing his case investigation. They helped me make contact with the people at Project Blue Book. And I was able to start to have connections there. I also worked with Leonard Stringfield, and he had connections at the base. And Leonard Stringfield was also helping me to make contacts. So I made all these different contacts with people. And, in fact, they gave me a telephone number to radar approach control that I could actually call. It's a hotline. And I could then confirm a sighting of an object that was in the sky, maybe like south of me or something like that I was investigating. So I actually had that kind of a relationship that was going on with him as well. Then what happened was, I think it was like maybe it was in the 70s, Blue Book had closed down. And I was contacted by somebody up on the base to come and do a presentation. I mean, I knew that the group was supposed to be a group of scientists or research people or something of that nature. And I went up, and it turned out that I learned that after I did the presentation, and there was about, I want to say about 35 people in the room. At one point, I made a comment to them. I said, you know, hey, many people see these things and don't talk about them. I'm curious to know if anybody in the room has ever seen anything. And, you know, one nervous hand went up, right? And the person shared that he had seen something. And I said, okay, well, great. And then I had a break, and then after the whole thing, I was, you know, everybody came up privately to talk about their cases. They had actually seen something. In fact, one guy, his job was to go up. He said, he was telling me this privately. He said, my job was to take a camera and fly up and go try and see if I could chase these things and film them. And then when I got back with the film and the canister, they took it off the plane, and they had me go over to a place where I had to sign a non-disclosure agreement or something like that where I couldn't talk about it, but I never saw the film again.
How many times have we heard that story?
Well,
And like, this is where I was going before. You got to know that they've got more than we know about.
Well, it's, again, about the they.
Well, people like that.
Well,
you know, that film had to go somewhere.
But maybe it didn't. Maybe it went on a shelf. And maybe it didn't go to any kind of organization that was collecting that kind of information. We don't know what happens to it. And it's maybe sitting on a shelf down in Foreign Technology Division now and putting it in the storage.
Does you mean Warehouse 13, or like in the original Raiders of the Lost Ark? The Ark of the Covenant is put in this dusty old warehouse.
Yes.
And right. You see, the problem is here that we assume that governments are competent. And I will accept that lots of people who work for governments are perfectly competent people who are dedicated to their jobs. But leadership comes and goes, and people are put in there not necessarily because they can ace the test, but because they can ace the relationship with the politician or give a contribution or whatever. We see that now. I don't want to get into that. But we assume they know what they're doing, and it may be that part of this entire problem with UFO secrecy or whatever it is, it's a massive amount of total incompetence. Rich Hoffman, please tell our listeners where they can find more of what you do.
We're on Facebook, SCU, as well as we have a website, explore.scu.org. You can get to our website. In fact, if you want to contact us, there's a contact page up there. But we're putting all of the white papers and the papers we get and everything else up on that site. We're looking to get more and to do various other projects. So the projects we do will all be posted up on the site and made public.
We're going to have Rich Hoffman back on this weekend's After the Paracast. I have a bunch of questions that were left sitting there. But right now, we just tell listeners, you can find us on Facebook if you look for two Paracast fan clubs or groups or communities or whatever they call them this week or this hour on Facebook, the Paracast. On Twitter, also check out branded merchandise for the Paracast. Go to theparacast.shop, theparacast.shop. And we have four different logos. We have throw pillows and shirts. Even Richard Kiel, were he alive today at 7'2", would have found, Jaws himself would have found, a T-shirt that fit him. We also have the Paracast Plus, where we give a special version of this show free of the network ads, the After the Paracast podcast, where we quite often continue discussions from the main show, like Rich is joining us this week, and last week we had Chris Rutkowski. To learn more and take advantage of special pandemic prices, go to theparacast.plus, theparacast.plus. Rich Hoffman, thank you for joining us on such short notice.
No problem. Glad to be on with you all anytime.
The Paracast, featuring Gene Steinberg, is a copyrighted presentation of Making the Impossible, Incorporated. Tune in next week for a new adventure in The Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
There's so much hand sanitizer on the market, but beware. Not all hand sanitizers are created equal. That's why you want to use 2020 Safe Hand Sanitizer. You can trust the hand sanitizer on 2020safe.net to be made with the highest quality ingredients. American made with American ingredients employing Americans. Log on now to 2020safe.net and order your 1 liter today. Normally $29.99, but reduced to $19.99. So hurry while supplies last and receive a bonus. That's right. You'll receive a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster, a $39.95 value, free, by using code GCN at checkout. Right now, click 2020safe.net. That's 2020safe.net to get our 1 liter bottle of high-quality hand sanitizer with your free bonus, a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster valued at $39.95. Remember to enter GCN at checkout, and the bonus is yours, free, 2020safe.net.